Today is week 8. That means we have been doing this for 2 months right now. And who can remember the first message we ever did? Week 1, we started with, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And we need to be able to clearly understand these things. I'll just mention them so that you begin to articulate those truths. And I really hope that you go back to these messages and listen to them, because I told you, you will not learn them in a go. And then remember, they are structured. My work as a Bible teacher or a pastor is to make sure that this curriculum or teachings are structured in a way that they build on each other. So these are not standalone messages. These are messages that will guide you to grow in the faith. Remember, that is what we are called to. We are called to grow in the faith and to understand the doctrine of Christ. Okay? So the first message was, what is the gospel? And then week 2, we did what? Why did Christ die? And then week 3, we asked what was finished at the cross. Okay? And then number 4 was the resurrection and the new creation. All these concern the new believer. Number 5 was righteousness, the gift, not the goal. Okay? And 6, holiness, the fruit, not the root. And the 7th week was the law and grace. 2 covenants and 2 systems. Number 8, which was last Sunday. Number 7 was, that was last Sunday, the law and grace. And today is week 8. And still on our series, Christ, Our Message, the title of today's message is The Believer's New Identity in Christ. The Believer's New Identity in Christ. Remember, you cannot keep these things in your mind. You need to go back, relearn them. You need to download. Actually, I think if you go to our website, you'll be able to download. There are 2 or 3 PDFs of this message. Probably by Tuesday, we should have completed all the PDFs. So that if you want to download the PDF version and read it, you can do that. If you want to listen to the sermons, you can get them on YouTube or on Facebook. And all the links on the website you can find. And the website is hftrministries.org. hftrministries.org. The reason I always say that is because you may not have a pen, you may not have something to write. Sometimes writing notes is destructive. It's good for you to go back and listen to these messages over and over. Over and over, over and over. So, today's lesson, the believer's new identity in Christ. And our core scripture or our central text is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I read, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Very powerful scripture. Okay? So many believers struggle with their Christian walk, not because they lack prayer, not because they are not prayerful enough, not because they are not religious enough. A lot of people struggle because they lack identity. They lack identity. And remember, our message today is about our new identity in Christ. Okay? So they are saved but feel lost. It's possible to be saved but you feel lost. It is possible to be forgiven and you still feel guilty. It is possible to be righteous, but still feel unworthy. That is what that lack of identity or understanding identity can do to you. So they live trying to become what God has already made them. So Christianity is not behavior modification. Christianity is identity transformation. I don't know how many times I will try to get this, and I really hope you get this. Christianity is not behavior modification, but identity transformation. What does that mean? Until you know who you are, you will struggle with how to live. Until you know who you are, you will struggle with how to live. So today we answer one question. Remember, every service answers one question with so many points, but we do it to answer one question. And today's question is this: who is the believer in Christ? Not who is the believer according to your pastor, including myself, not who is the believer according to religious systems, not who is the believer according to what you are taught, not who is the believer according to what you think. It is who is the believer in Christ. So, number one, the believer is a new creation. Please note that. If you have a second and a third stomach, please put it in there. And know that the believer is a new creation. The believer is a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Creation. Okay? Please note, the scripture does not say is an improved creation. Okay? It does not say is a repaired creation, and it does not say is a forgiven old creation. The Bible says if any one is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ. Please also underline the word anyone, because this refers to anyone. It does not say the one who has prayed and repented. It does not say the one who has been religious. It does not say the one who has been confirmed. It does not say the one who has been baptized. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not improved, not repaired, not old, forgiven creation. It says new creation. So God did not fix the old man. God ended the old man. Now Romans 6:6 says this: knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. So when Christ died on the cross, guess who else died? I died, you died, he died, she died, we all died. Those of us who are in Christ, we all died at the cross. So whatever you are in your past, you know, and that is why we try to bring this very clearly. There is no way you can still have ancestral issues and you died. Your old man died where? At the cross. But somebody will say, but you don't know. You have never seen. I have seen it all. I've seen it all. I have been through that process. I've gone through that process. I have understood. I have taught that system. And now God is giving me an opportunity to unlearn and unteach some of the nonsense that we taught in the previous years. You understand? So there's no way you can be in Christ and you are still attached to the old you that was crucified. So if there were any issues with your ancestral spirits and your ancestral people, those things were crucified on the cross. But what if they pop up? That one is cured by the renewing of the mind, not deliverance classes. Jesus never did any deliverance classes, never took anybody through deliverance. Actually, the Bible calls the preaching of the gospel deliverance. Okay? So if you want to read Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 60 or 62. Everywhere you find the scripture being mentioned, the preaching of the scripture is what the Bible calls deliverance. Because when light comes, you begin to see. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall set you free. Okay? So your old identity in Adam is gone, dead, kaput. So nobody can tell me now, you know, like when you go to the doctor, you know, the doctors always ask you something like, is there anyone in your family who has diabetes? Is there anyone in your family? You know, it's time to judge you. Is there anyone in your family who has mental issues? You know, so if you need to worry, there was somebody in the past who had some mental issues. There's a possibility that a little bit of those drops are in your head, yeah? So is there anybody in your family who has kidney stones? And they always try to point something in your... And that's the work of the doctor, because he's trying to diagnose. Now, pastors have also become some weird doctors. Tell us. Who is in your family that has manifested? Yeah, your sisters, your daughters don't get married. Your great grandmothers don't. And then they will try to make that look like a generational curse that is following a Christian. Okay, so if you understand what I'm teaching you today, you will break out of that foolishness and actually point the real problem to where it is, because some things are not curses. Some things are just stupidity. Some things are bad behavior. Some things are lack of common sense. I'm not saying those things are there, but they are there for those in darkness. I'm talking to those who are in Christ. Are we together? So I don't want to rub that one in, because I know that one could go in the wrong way. But please understand, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All right? What do you mean by passed away? Kaput. You know, when we want to say a polite way, so and so passed away, we are just actually saying so and so died. Dead. So your old man is dead. It's the Bible's way of just using polite language. All things are dead. So when something is dead, how much alive is it? It's dead. So if something is dead, it is just dead. So the old you is dead. It cannot be alive. So you are not a sinner trying to change. You are a new creation learning to live. Are you understanding? Because if you don't get these small concepts, I'm telling you, the Christian life will be boring. You will be trying to do things that you're not supposed to be trying to do. You are not a sinner trying to change. You are a new creation learning to live. That is why we are taking time to teach. Yep. I can come here with exciting messages and motivational talk, but they'll do nothing. You'll just be trying to wash the pig from the outside. But you need to learn this from the inside. Number two, the old life is gone. The old life is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. I've already told you that. Old things include your old nature. So that one that was attached to your great-great-grandfather, who was a horse thief, who was a sorcerer and a witch, and all those things. All those things were did what? Passed away. They died. Okay? Your old spiritual status. So your old spiritual status is also passed away. Your old relationship with God is passed away. Your old identity in sin is passed away. I hope one day you'll understand that and then walk in that. Okay? So God is not relating to your past. He's relating to your position in Christ. God is relating to your position in Christ. You may remember your past, but God does not define you by it. God does not define you by it. And that's a powerful thing. I think it's Catherine Kuhlman who, at some point in her ministry, because of the problem and the divorce she had gone through, people had stopped listening to her preaching and her messages, and she'd go for conferences in different countries, and people would say, "Aren't you Catherine Kuhlman? You're the divorcee." And then people would leave her meeting. And she talks about this in one of her books, and she says when she was at a dead end in her ministry, and she was now wondering, what is she going to do? She went for a meeting somewhere, and somebody just came, the way they would do in those previous meetings, and she said, "Aren't you Catherine Kuhlman? Aren't you that divorcee? Aren't you that preacher who divorced and blah, blah, blah?" And she said, "No, it's not me." And she said, "No, it is you. We know how you look. It really is you." And she said, "No, it's not me." And said, "That one died." And she said, "No, but you are here." But people never understood what she meant, that Catherine died. She said that is the day she died, and she realized that she is not what she thought she is in Christ, but she was defined by Christ. Did you understand? So when people come and say, we know you. No, you don't. You have no idea who I am. And when you're talking to me, you're talking to the walking dead. You understand? This is a walking dead. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if you knew that one is dead, this is a new creation. You have to get that, understand that, and believe that. So God is not relating to you in your past. Hebrews 10:17, it says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So your history is not your identity. Christ is your identity. Christ is your identity. Now this one removes you from always coming before Christ. Christ, you know, I am a sinner saved by grace. It is just by your mercy and by your grace I am here. Please hear me. You don't need to do all that drama. You are not who you were. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Number three, you are the righteousness of God. Not God has made you righteous in Christ. He's saying you are the righteousness of God. Not you are doing the righteousness. You are the righteousness. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Let me read that so that you understand. Second Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that is why we say everything is in Christ. In Christ. If you're trying to do it in yourself, you're on your own. If it is in Christ, you are a new. You're a new creation. So you did not receive righteousness like a tool. Okay? You did not receive righteousness like a tool. You became righteous in Christ. Righteousness is not something that's given to you. Hey, your remark here is righteousness. That is not what the Bible is saying. It's saying you became righteous in Him. So righteousness means, and I know we've gone over this, it means right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. It also means full acceptance. God has accepted you because of righteousness. And then it says no guilt and no inferiority. Okay? So you don't feel inferior when it comes to spiritual matters. Even when you are gathering amongst other believers, there is no super apostle, small apostle, apostle, small apostle, small believer. There is no that. That hierarchy has been put by man to confuse man and to bring disorder into the body of Christ. Because in Christ, we are all called sons of God. We are children of God. This is a title that is only in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, people were not called sons of God. They were servants of God. In the New Testament, in Christ, we are sons of God. Yep. So never feel inferior. You can be respectful, but don't feel inferior to any other believer. You are not trying to be accepted. You are accepted. You are not working to be clean. You are clean. And holiness is not a ladder. It's a life flowing from righteousness. Remember, we've been saying holiness is not something you do to become. Yeah, so whether it's holiness movement, holiness prayer, holiness ministry, holiness this, holiness is not something you do to become. Holiness is something that flows out of righteousness, because holiness is the nature and the character of who? Of God. So it is not something you do. It's not something you try to become. Number four, you are a child of God. As many as received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. And I love this one. You know, Christianity is not joining a religion. Christianity is not joining a religion. Christianity is receiving a father. Christianity is not joining a religion. It is receiving a father. In the Old Testament, nobody called God Father. Because it is in the New Testament that you have the spirit of adoption that helps us to call God and call Him Abba, Father. You understand? So you have received a father, and you are not a servant seeking approval. Okay? A lot of religion sometimes tries to point that picture. You work hard and serve hard enough, you're going to be right. And one day after giving and praying and fasting, you're going to be right enough for God. Are we together? Yes. So you are a son living from love. Romans 8:15, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Papa, Papa. Pata, Pata. Papa, Papa. So God is now your daddy. He's not just your God. He's now your Father. This is a title reserved only for New Testament believers. Nobody in the Old Testament ever called God Father. Yeah, that statement got Jesus in trouble because they did not know who Jesus was when he said, God is my Father, and if you have seen me, you have seen. Yeah, but that one will come in another day. So you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So your relationship is not based on performance, it is based on faith. So I'm not trying anything. I'm not trying to pray, I'm not trying to fast, I'm not trying to study, I'm not trying to penance or punish my body or myself to find acceptance with God. I'm already acceptance because my relationship is not based upon performance, it is based on birth. I am born as a son of God. I don't expect my children to try and earn anything from me because there is nothing to earn. Their virtue of their birth means I have a responsibility over them. Number five, you are united with Christ. You are united with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he says, he who joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you are not separated from Christ. You are not distant from God. You are joined, connected, and you are one spirit. That's a powerful statement and a dangerous statement. So I'll not explain more in this because I would want to explain it more in a different context. But the Bible says you are one spirit with. Yeah. So we are not trying. That is why when I say holiness is flowing out of you, it's not something you do. It comes from that spirit of God who is indwelling you. So Christianity is not Christ helping you. Christianity is not Christ helping you. It is Christ in you. And here is where I told you to differentiate from the imitation. This is not an imitation business. What would Christ do in this situation? If you don't have Christ in that situation, you will do what a man can do in that situation. So when the Bible says, when a man slaps you, give him the left cheek. Now, if you are in Christ, you may be able to handle that. If you are not in Christ, you will say it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm the one who should be giving the slap, not receiving the slap. But you cannot imitate Christ because it is impossible to live the life of Christ if you don't have the spirit of Christ. So I'm not telling you to imitate. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But actually the correct translation is Christ in you, the hope and the glory. It is Christ in you, which is the hope and the glory. Remember, being in the presence of God, that is heaven. You understand? Being in the presence of God, that is actually the hope and the glory. Yep. And I'm not saying you're not going to go there where you want to go. But I'm telling you, wherever Christ is for me, that is heaven. That is heaven. Lesson for another day. So you are seated. You are seated with Christ. Ephesians 2:6. And I read, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what does seated mean? Seated means, number one, finished work. I've done my work. So if you find your worker seated, it's probably two things. They're not going to work anymore, or they have finished their work and they're resting. Yeah, so seated means also rest, and seated also means authority. Okay? So when you sit at the right hand of the Father, that is regency. That's a position that somebody rules on behalf of another. Like, we have been given regency on earth for the kingdom of God. That means we are ruling on behalf of the monarch, who is God. So regency, seated, authority. This word authority has the idea of regency. You have been given authority and power to rule on behalf of another. So you are not trying to reach God. None of us is trying to reach God. Remember the guys in Genesis when they were building a tower and they were trying to reach God? None of us is trying to reach God. Remember, most people tell you, you need to touch God. Touch God. You know, that's an insult. Who are you? Touch God is Old Testament theology. How do you touch God? And where are you going to touch God? And the idea is, do something. Do something to touch God. So you are not trying to reach God. You are already positioned in Christ. So it is you in Christ and Christ in God. That's what the Bible says. You are in Christ and Christ is in God. So you are there. I mean, you are right at the core of it. So where are you going to touch him? He's actually the one touching you. He's even overshadowed you. You understand? Yeah, so we are not trying to fight for victory. We are living from victory. That's why I told you, our prayers will change. Our lifestyles will change. The way we speak. You know, the way people say, hey, no more agiginyana, no more aroa. You know, that is, are you still struggling and fighting? You know, like that beautiful canto we have in town that's called, "The Struggle Continues." I don't know if you've ever seen that saying somewhere. The struggle continues. No, it's not continuing. The struggle is over. Because it is Christ in us. So we are not struggling. And number 7, you are free from condemnation. Condemnation is a powerful weapon of the enemy. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And again, we bring back the same concept. Because, you know, people who are sin conscious will always think, oh, so do we go sin? Because now there is no condemnation. I've told you 100 times. If you are inclined to sin, then you don't know what we are talking about. Okay? So this is not a license for religious people to do what they want. If you are in Christ, your nature has changed. You're no longer interested in piggish stuff. You are interested in what Christ is interested in. So no condemnation means no judgment. So there is no paying for penance. You don't need to try to find your way to heaven. There is no punishment. And there is no wrath from God. A lot of people live their life in fear, fearing the wrath of God to come. And a lot of people have used eschatology wrongly. And instead of preaching the hope that is in Christ, you know, the Bible says the coming of Christ is a joy to us. But because of wrong teaching on eschatology, people think it is going to be a fearful and a dark day. No, it will be a victorious and beautiful day for those who are in Christ. So we are not trying to get victory. There is no condemnation. So God is not angry with you. God is not counting your sins. And why isn't he angry with you? And why isn't he counting on your sins? Because judgment fell on Christ. And if judgment fell on Christ, are you trying to be better than Christ to carry the judgment and the punishment that fell on him? Okay? So you are not waiting for punishment. You are living in grace. Yeah, I know a lot of people have the idea that on the last day of judgment, we shall all line up at the throne, at the great white throne. And then God will bring his big 1,000 million whatever inch screen TVs. And all our actions will be displayed there before everybody as we get judged and sent wherever we are being sent. That's not going to happen. That one happens in the movies to scare people to heaven. Because Christ has already bore your punishment and your sins, and they shall be remembered no more. So there is no screen in heaven. There is no screen in heaven. If you want to follow Christ because you love Christ. Don't follow Christ because you're afraid of going to to hell. Follow Christ for who he is. Okay? And number 8, as we wind up, law versus grace. We always have this analogy to help you differentiate so that now you can move away from some of the things we are talking about. Law versus grace. And this is our identity focus. The law says, prove yourself and your place. Perform to belong. Do to belong. But grace says, you already belong. You are accepted. We together. Now live from it. So I'm not living trying to get accepted. I am living from acceptance. I'm already accepted. So I don't obey to become a son. I obey because I am a son. Do you understand? So you don't obey to become a son. You obey because you are a son. You're already a son. One of our last questions, why identity changes everything? Why identity changes everything? If you see yourself as a sinner, you will live in sin. Okay? Because what you keep focusing on is what, you know, the Bible says, be aware what you hear. Be aware what you keep your eyes on. Because if you focus, for example, if you focus on the problems in the country, what will be before your eyes? The problems there. You will always be thinking about that. And you'll always think about defeat. So if you see yourself as a sinner, you will live in sin. You will live in sin. If you feel you are unworthy, you are unworthy. Have you ever had those prayers? Oh Lord, you know, I'm just an unworthy worm. I am just a mingy worm. I'm not even worthy to be under your feet. Have you ever had? Those are wrong concepts and imaginations of God. If you feel or see yourself as condemned, you will live in fear. When is God going to strike me? If something bad happens, God must be angry with me. If even a calamity happens, or even something stupid, probably you're cooking and then you do something stupid and you burn yourself, this is the wrath of God. You know, your pastor will say, something, I feel there. Don't feel anything. The cook was just stupid, careless, or distracted. Do you understand? But if you don't understand where you are, you will always think that God is trying to knock the block out of you. Do you understand? He's always trying to punish you. So you will live in fear. You're always afraid of God. You'll always be afraid of God because you see him as that. But if you see yourself as righteous, you will walk in righteousness. Why? Because your righteousness, your whole mentality is about righteousness. Then if you see yourself as loved, you will also love. Have you seen these hate ministers who are filled with hate, who always wants God to punish and to kill people? Yeah, may the wrath of God come upon you. God kill them. Now, if God was a killer, yeah, how would he judge terrorists? Because if God himself is a terrorist, he should also allow terrorists to do their work. After all, terrorists are an extension of his nature. So terrorists should be celebrated because terrorists are killers just like God. But that is not his nature. You understand? So if you are loved, you will also love. You will not be filled with hate. Even when you see people doing stupid things, your heart will be moved with compassion. And that is why Jesus was different from the Old Testament prophets, because the Old Testament prophets did not have this revelation. They were probably filled with that. They didn't have the assurance of the love of God. So when they saw people doing bad, they would burn with righteous. They call it righteous anger. Yeah? But it's not righteous anger. It's unrighteous. It's unrighteous anger. And you want God to kill the very people he died for. Why did he go to the cross to die so that now he can come in? He would have just left us to ourselves, and humans are good at destroying themselves. Do you understand? But if you don't have the assurance of his love, you will be filled with hate towards your fellow humans. And the reason I said God doesn't kill, and you know, we'll get into theological debates about that in the Old Testament, but we look at Jesus in the New Testament. Last week I told you there was a guy in the Old Testament who went to look for sticks on the Sabbath day, and the law of Moses said, do what? Stone this guy. Fast forward, John chapter 8. A woman caught in the act of adultery brought before Jesus, who is God, and they told Jesus, who is God, the law of Moses states that this woman should be done what? Stoned to death. And he looks at the woman and says, where are your accusers? Because he said, whoever has no sin, let him do what? Cast the first stone. And then he looked at the woman and said, where are your accusers? And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Old Testament, kill the guy who is going to look for sticks to cook for his kids. New Testament, adulterer, go and sin no more. Seems to be an inconsistency in the nature of God. But if Christ, and he is the full expression and the exact likeness of God, that tells you that God is not into the killing business. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That is why you have to have that assurance. Wow, I am that loved. When you feel that loved, what will you do to your fellow human? You will love them back. You understand? Yep. And if you feel accepted, you will grow. Because now I'm not concentrating my energies on, did I do wrong before God? Did I do this? I'm growing in grace. Why? So you don't live above your identity. You live out of it. And here is our practical application. We are winding up. Stop speaking your old identity. This is your practical application. Stop speaking your old identity. Say what God says about you. I think Lisa mentioned that. You know, start saying what God is saying about you. Number two, renew your mind daily. Renew your mind daily. Your spirit is new, but your mind is not. Your mind must learn. And how do you learn? You train your mind by making it new. You renew. So your spirit is new, but your mind is still old. That's why the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is what we are doing. These teachings are meant to renew, to rewire your mind from that old concept. So your spirit is new. Your mind must learn it. Because your mind still does not fully grasp that your spirit is new. That's why you'll have some back and forths here. And then live from your identity, not pressure. You are already accepted. I am not trying to get accepted. That's no longer a story for me. So conclusion, you are not a sinner trying to improve. You are a new creation in Christ. But two, you are not separated from God. You are one with Christ. You are not under judgment. You are under grace. You are not trying to belong. You already belong. So we do not wake up asking, who am I? Who am I? Yeah, leave that one to Master Shifu in his cave for 30 years. We already know who we are. You don't need to lock yourself in a cave for 30 years. Asking that one question, who am I? We wake up knowing who we are in Christ. And that is why Christ is our message. I hope you are learning. I hope you are understanding. And I want to pray for you so that God may open your eyes, open the understanding of your eyes. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the listeners. I thank you for everyone who is learning. Father, may you open our eyes so that we may understand, our minds be renewed, and help us to understand who we are in Christ. We don't want to just be religious. We don't want to just have religious cliches. We don't want to just talk about religious things, but we want to walk in the fullness of who we are in Christ Jesus. And I'm praying for my listeners, and I'm praying for everyone who's been blessed and ministered to this word, by this word, that Father, they will understand and they will begin to see who they are and enjoy their newfound liberty in Christ. Thank you for everyone who has heard. May they be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Honey from the Rock Ministry. We are a Christ-centered church, serving Jesus our Lord.